Welcome to the Make It Personal podcast, presented by Mutual of Omaha Advisors. Make it personal. It's your money. It's your plan. It's your future.
Many of our modern graduation traditions can be traced back to customs established back in the Middle Ages. Since the start of the Western university system in the 1200s, many different graduation traditions have taken hold in our American culture. A quick search of the internet turned up some fun facts about graduation. The diploma, Romans first used these as validation of a soldier's time served, and they were written on animal skin. The cap was initially a hood and believed to date back to Celtic time when Druid priests wore capes and hoods to symbolize their intelligence. The gown? Gowns were worn as early as the 1300s, as they were worn by scholars and clerics for warmth, not for ceremonial purposes. The class ring? These were originally coveted seals, which were heavily guarded as well as valued and destroyed upon death so no one would take their power and authority. Also notable, Weird Al Yankovic was a valedictorian at his high school graduation, so was Cindy Crawford. The more modern tradition for college students? Student loan debt. According to an online article published in October 2024 by U.S. News and World Report titled, How Much Student Loan Debt Does the Average College Graduate Have? The average total student loan continues to hover around $29,000. Borrowing is often tied to the cost of college tuition and fees, which per U.S. News data has more than doubled over the last 20 years. I'm not trying to make any sort of political statement, nor making light of this. The reality today is that the average college graduate walks off campus with more than a degree. For many recent college graduates and young adults, personal finances are a source of anxiety. Many indicate that they're not fully prepared to face the financial responsibilities that come along with graduating college and entering the workforce. This adulting stuff can be hard. Where do you begin? If I'm a recent college graduate, is it too soon to create a financial plan? While the day you walk off your college campus may not be the same day that you need to have a formal written financial plan, it's never too early to have a plan for your future. My name is Mark Zagurski, and I'm the Director of Strategy and Communications for Mutual of Omaha Advisors, a division of Mutual of Omaha. I will admit that it's been a minute since I stepped onto a college campus for anything other than to watch a basketball game or for a visit with our high school junior. However, I regularly get to engage with recent college graduates, as many choose to enter our Financial Representative Accelerator program, where we're building the next generation of financial advisors today. Those recent college graduates tend to know a lot of other recent college graduates. We understand the opportunities that those stepping off the campus and possibly into the full-time workforce for the first time have to build habits to best position themselves for financial success. What are the basics for a recent college graduate to consider? Today, I'm going to offer up four. Number one, establish and stick to a budget. Number two, save as much as possible. Three, begin investing for retirement and other long-term goals. And four, pay down and keep your debt in check. Let's start with number one, establishing and sticking to a budget. Creating and sticking to a budget may not be the most fun thing to do, but it's crucial to avoid living beyond your means. Any plan that you put together should look to strike some balance between living for today and saving for tomorrow. The basic purpose of a personal budget is to plan how an individual's money or income will be spent. Given limited financial resources, such is the case with many recent college graduates, a budget is a method of managing personal cash flow to meet current needs and save for the future. What are some of the reasons to prepare a budget? First, as a planning tool. When correctly used, a personal budget can ensure that income and expenditures match, both in amount and timing. It can both spotlight potential cash flow problems and identify opportunities to make better use of current income. Second, as a yardstick to measure progress. By comparing the planned budget against actual results, an individual can see if progress is being made towards meeting specific goals. This measuring process will often highlight areas where changes should be made. Delayed gratification is a powerful tool when building wealth and financial security. Recognizing the distinction between emotional wants and financial needs is the first step towards achieving a balanced and prosperous life. I see plenty of posts on my own social network where a son or a daughter graduates, enters the workforce, and there's an image of them standing on a car dealer parking lot next to a brand new car. At times, it might even be a luxury car, and the words are written about them as being deserving, or that college graduate deserving of that new car. While I don't begrudge anyone, all I can say is I wasn't there myself. My first new car, a Honda Civic, coincidentally the same year that I graduated college and began working full-time. I had the same mindset and even continued to perpetuate it as I traded in that new car every 4 years and again every 4 years, every 4 years. It was only in the last 10 to 15 years where I made a conscious decision to get more disciplined in this area. I recently saw a post by Dave Ramsey, one of those so-called financial celebrities, that said, just because you can make the payments doesn't mean you can afford it. This is one area that I will agree with Dave on. We've got to live within our means while balancing living for today and planning for our future. By making conscious, informed choices, you can avoid the pitfalls of comparison and focus on what truly matters, your financial well-being. Now on to number two, saving as much as possible. Creating and having a budget gives us a framework. Now we need to establish a foundation. Before you can begin building sufficient savings, it's crucial to understand the difference between saving and investing. Saving provides safety, security, control, and flexibility, offering you options for immediate financial stability when you need it. On the other hand, investing, which we'll get to in number three, presents the opportunity to grow wealth, but also introduces the potential for volatility and loss. The key is getting the order right, save first, and then invest. While saving and investing share the common goal of accumulating money, they operate on different principles, and each requires a distinct approach. Whether it's for an emergency fund, medical expenses, life goals, or other living costs, saving is a primary way to help alleviate financial anxiety. This takes discipline and being willing to sacrifice immediate pleasure for future financial gain. Saving something is definitely better than saving nothing. The key is to get started, even if you're not financially stable right out of college. For recent college graduates, the most crucial saving focus should be on building an emergency fund, ideally a minimum of 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. By prioritizing, budgeting, and allocating a portion of their income towards savings, even if it's a small amount, to prepare for unexpected costs. While emergency funds and unexpected costs are not all that exciting to save for, we can also save for some short-term goals, such as travel or vacations. Many people wrongly conflate saving with investing, or they think of investing as being risky. With this, we transition to number three, to begin investing towards retirement or other long-term savings goals. True financial growth often comes from becoming owners of successful businesses rather than just investing in the stock market. Whether we are talking about saving, investing, or both, it's important to have a plan. Again, a plan that allows us to live for today while saving for or investing for tomorrow. It was Albert Einstein who famously said, "Compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it." Getting started early and being consistent in our savings and investing helps to position us for short-term and long-term success. While it may be tempting to keep retirement contributions low to pay for expenses early in your career, it can certainly be to your advantage to pour as much as possible into a retirement fund, such as a 401k, 403b, or individual retirement account. It's important to remember contributing to a 401k isn't just saving, it's investing, and long-term investing at that. It's also important to remember that this is another area where you can make time work for you. Saving and investing are related strategies for achieving financial success. To save or invest, you must forego spending now to build wealth for your future. The difference between saving and investing is a choice as to what you will do with your unspent funds or unspent income. I was offered the opportunity to begin contributing to a 401k in my first real job. This wasn't my first job out of college, instead the job that I worked part-time to save for college and pay for college. I was 18 years old, and I had no idea what I was doing, only thinking that it was a good idea to get started. I worked that job and was ultimately offered a full-time position upon graduation. Turns out that role wasn't for me, and I looked elsewhere. When I left that company, I had a few $1,000s in my 401k. I could have easily cashed it in. Instead, I rolled it over to an IRA, ultimately converted it to a Roth IRA, and now that account is worth multiples today of what it was back then. Of course, it should be worth multiples after nearly 30 years. Saving means setting aside cash for future use. Investing means using cash to buy assets that should produce wealth through appreciation or income. When do we invest? We should invest when you have income and some savings or a cash emergency fund. This choice is not linear in that saving and investing can likely and should likely coexist in your plan. They're not mutually exclusive. Finally, we move on to number four, paying down and keeping your debt in check. Many college graduates start their professional careers with significant student loan debt. According to the 2024 Northwestern Mutual Planning and Progress Study, two-thirds, 66%, of Americans hold at least some personal debt, with the average amount of debt, excluding non-mortgage related debt, increasing by 4% in the last year. According to their website, on average, those who have student loan debt expect that it will take them until they're nearly 45 years old to pay it off. Experts typically suggest first paying down debts that carry the highest interest rates, which in most cases will be credit cards. Those with private student loans may also want to pay them down quickly, as they typically have higher interest rates than federal student loans. Some of the so-called financial celebrities may tell you that you need to get yourself completely out of debt before you start investing or saving. Getting debt under control and not adding to it unnecessarily are of critical importance. The urgency to pay down debt is growing, but action to get it under control at times is lacking. We simply do not believe that paying debt and saving or investing must be mutually exclusive. Instead, they can coexist as part of a coordinated plan. If your debt doesn't take up a significant portion of your income, you may find success in a strategy that prioritizes your smallest balance first, combined with careful budgeting. If your debt is overwhelming, consolidating debts or exploring debt relief may be worth your consideration. There are plenty of other topics that we could have included, such as life insurance. I figure that if I didn't lose you with budget, I'd likely certainly lose you with a topic like life insurance. Though proudly, I had a friend who started as an advisor while I was in college. I sat down with him and decided to buy my first policy. It allowed me to get some permanent coverage in place and to begin accumulating cash value inside the contract for my long-term financial goals. While life insurance is not an investment, the amount of return generated in the cash value of this policy continues to impress, especially knowing that if structured properly, I can access this money on a tax advantage basis for my needs. Control, flexibility, options, and more savings towards my long-term goals. I had no idea what my long-term goals were at the time. I just knew that it made sense to get started. American poet E.E. Cummings is quoted as saying, "It takes courage to grow up and become who you really are." Life is a series of choices. The financial choices and decisions we make today most certainly have an impact on our financial situation tomorrow. It's never too early to start managing your finances better. In fact, certain decisions can have a significant impact on your financial future. There may be some real or grown-up conversations we need to have with ourselves when it comes to all of this. Our advisors simply want to help you make plans for living for today while planning for tomorrow. Whether you realize it or not, two of the main areas where we get some of our best candidates for our financial representative program, where we develop future financial advisors, are recent college graduates and first-time career changers. We know that recent college graduates tend to socialize with other recent college graduates or people of the same age and have many of the same financial aspirations as those recent college graduates. Many of our newest financial representatives can directly relate, as they're often fresh off a college campus themselves. The truth about these areas of planning for recent grads, as well as other financial goals you may have, is they're solvable with the help of a financial advisor. An advisor will start by learning what's most important to you, and they can help you to develop a plan for balancing living for today and planning for tomorrow. There are a lot of places out there where people seek financial advice or guidance on personal finance. The thing about personal finance is, well, it's personal. If you want your plan to be personal, it has to be tailored to you. It's never too early to create a plan to give you the financial security and freedom you deserve. Yes, we believe you do deserve this. Take control of your future and schedule a no-obligation consultation with one of our advisors today. Go to www.makeitpersonalpodcast to learn more or to get connected with one of our advisors or download our ebook. Also, please like and subscribe. Are you a recent college graduate? If so, what is the most important financial goal that you have today? What are you doing to set yourself up for future financial success? If you're watching or listening on a platform where you can comment, please do so, as I'm curious for your thoughts. At Mutual of Omaha Advisors, we understand personal finance is personal, and financial well-being is essential to achieving your life's goals. Our vision is for every customer to be able to imagine, plan, and secure their financial futures. Make it personal. It's your money, it's your plan, it's your future.
This podcast is for educational purposes only and may include references to concepts that have legal and/or tax implications. Mutual of Omaha Investor Services, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional regarding your personal situation prior to making any financial decisions. Strategies discussed may not be suitable for everyone. Securities and advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Mutual of Omaha Advisors is a division of Mutual of Omaha Insurance Company.